Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Verses 39 to 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So starting from text 39, Maitreya Uvacha. Itam saloka guruham samadhishto visham patihi tata chakritva vatsalyam maghona pichasandadhi. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued. When King Prithu was thus advised by the supreme teacher, Lord Brahma, he abandoned his eagerness to perform yagyas and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra. Text 40. Kritava Britta Snanaya Prithavi Bhuri Karmane Varanda Dusti Varada Yetad Marhishitar Pitaha. After this, Prithu Maharaj took his bath, which is customarily taken after the performance of a yajna, and received the benedictions and due blessings of the demigods, who were very pleased by his glorious activities. Purport. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, for all yajna is meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Since the demigods automatically become very pleased with the performance of sacrifice, they bestow benediction upon the executors of yajnas. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the branches, trunk, twigs, flowers and leaves are all satisfied. Similarly, when one gives food to the stomach, all parts of the body are rejuvenated. In the same way, if one simply satisfies Lord Vishnu by the performance of yajna, one satisfies all demigods automatically. In turn, the demigods offer their benedictions to such a devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, does not ask benedictions directly from the demigods. His only business is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he is never in need of those things supplied by the demigods. Text 41. Vipra satya shishastushta shradhaya labdha dakshina ashisho yuyuju shaktar adirajaya satkrita. With great respect, the original king, Prithu, offered all kinds of rewards to the Brahmanas present at the sacrifice. Since all these Brahmanas were very much satisfied, they gave their heartfelt blessings to the king. Now the last text of the chapter is there on the board. Please repeat. Tvaya huta mahabahu sarva eva samagataha pujita dana mana bhyam pitri deva shimanabaha tvaya huta mahabahu sarva eva samagataha pujita dana mana bhyam pitru deva shimana vaham tvaya huta mahabaho sarva eva samagataha pujita dana mana bhyam iti devarshimanavaham Mahaprabhu's. Matajis. Forward. Vayam Vayu Ahutah. We're invited. Mahabahu. O great mighty armed one. Sarve. All. Ivan. Certainly. Samagatah. Assembled, Pujitahan, were honored, Dana, by charity, Manabhyam, and by respect, Pitri, the inhabitants of Pitrilok, Devan, demigods, Rishi, great sages, Manavaha, as well as common men. Translation. All the great sages and brahmanas said, O mighty king, by your invitation all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitriloka and the heavenly planets, and great sages as well as common men have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them. Please repeat. All the great sages and brahmanas said, O mighty king, by your invitation, all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitriloka and the heavenly planets, and great sages, as well as common men, have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them. Mm-hmm. Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Ghayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. So text 39 says that the king Prithu was thus advised by the supreme teacher, Lord Brahma. He abandoned his eagerness to perform yajas and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra. So just a quick recap before we start. Prithu Maharaj is trying to perform 100 yajas. Indra was the only one who had done so far the same feat. So now Indra becomes envious. He cannot tolerate that another person is going to achieve the same feat that he achieved before. So his position, his power was all based on his performance of sacrifice, and now he sees that someone else is going to manage to do the same thing and he cannot accept. So that's the basis of material existence, is the basis of all the problems, that envy, that feeling of being separate and being the center of existence. So Indra, even though he is a great devotee, but his service to Krishna is mixed with a feeling of being the controller, being the enjoyer. So he's not a pure devotee. He's mixed. And therefore, he feels, as soon as Krishna is not in the center, but to try to put ourselves in the center, then envy takes place. Because then we start the competition with Krishna, competition with all other conditioned souls who also want to be in the center. Krishna, by nature, by his constitutional position, he is the center of everything. So you have to compete with him if you want to become the center. And the other living entities who are also conditioned, they also want to be the center, so you have to compete with them also. So as soon as the Lord is not placed in the center, then we have competition and envy starts. So that's the essence of material life. So King Prithu first tried to regain the horse. He sent his son and Indra by playing different tricks, was trying to avoid punishment and trying to stop the sacrifice at any cost. So, but by doing this, he started introducing many cheating principles of religion. So that was very bad, because by his example, many people in the future would follow those misleading principles of religion. So Lord Brahma comes when Prithu Maharaj was ready to kill Indra. And the priest, they said, no, you don't kill him personally. We are going to kill him by inviting him to the sacrifice and throwing him in the fire. So when they have decided to do that, Lord Brahma intervenes and he says, don't do that. You're going to solve one problem, create a bigger problem. Just leave it. Just give up performing the sacrifice. It's fine, no? 99 sacrifice, that's good enough. Don't worry about the 101. And so what happened? King Prithu, after being advised by Lord Brahma, who is Loka Guru now, he's the guru of all the planets. So he gave up his eagerness to perform his 100th sacrifice and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra. So the first point that strikes me here is that sometimes fighting for justice can be very childish. Everybody has the tendency to fight for justice. That's a natural thing. But sometimes the way people fight for justice can be very childish. And in fact, we see that children, they're always fighting for justice. I remember when I was an ashrama teacher. So I had so many boys in the ashram, they're staying there, they're living together, and naturally they fight. There is always some competition, always some fighting between the boys. And you can see the most common argument. The first thing the boys will say is that Oh, Moshe, it's not fair. No, this is injustice. It's the most common thing. Every time there is a fight, somebody will come and say, this is not fair. And even in the families, when you have brothers and the brothers are fighting, first thing someone will say, oh, why he got this and I didn't get, this is not fair, no, you're being unjust. So it's the most common thing. They're always fighting for justice. But it's very childish, because actually both of them are on the same level. They're all selfish, they're all competing, and because of that competition, oh, he got a little bit more sweet rice than I got on my plate, that's not fair, and why I got to sweep this much in the room and he got only this much. And everything is a reason for competition, and always there is someone who is feeling injustice. So it's such a strong thing, always going on and on and on. And Prithu Maharaj could have done the same here. He could have said, oh, it's not fair, no, this is injustice. Why Indra can perform 100 sacrifices and I cannot perform? He is wrong. I am right. You should chastise him, not me. Why are you stopping Indra? So he could act like that. He could claim justice. He could fight for justice until the end. But being mature, he said, okay, I give up. No, I surrender. And he didn't perform the sacrifice. So sometimes fighting for justice is actually childish, but the mercy of the Lord goes much beyond justice. And that's what we see. Whenever a devotee he accepts something which appears to be injustice, and he tries to cooperate with the Lord's plan, actually he gets much more than he would get by justice. So sometimes we are fighting because we want justice. But Krishna has a greater plan for us that we cannot see. We are fighting to achieve something that we think we deserve. This would be just. I should get this much. Actually, Krishna is trying to give us much more. And we are fighting for only this much. Because we are convinced this is justice. So we cannot see the greater picture. So Bhadish Loka says, Loka Guru Na. Samadhishto Loka Guruna. He was instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the guru of all the worlds. And then he accepted. Because he knows Lord Brahma, he's in a higher position. He has a vision that I don't have. From my standpoint, I cannot see the same thing that Brahma can see. Actually, he knows what is better. He knows that what is going on is not good, therefore he told me to stop. From his position, his standpoint as a king, he thinks my duty is to perform sacrifice. Therefore, he's ready to kill Indra for that. That's very serious. He's ready to kill the chief of the demigods. And he's going to do that based on justice, because that's his duty, and Indra is interfering with his duty. So he's ready to kill him. But then Brahma comes and he has a higher vision, a broader vision. He says, look, actually, by killing Indra, you're going to solve your little problem and you're going to create a bigger one. So why do you want to do that? Well, actually, doing 99 sacrifices is as good as doing 100. Don't worry. No? We know that you are capable of doing that, but you don't need to do it. Because if that is creating so much trouble, better to stop. And Brahma also says that, look, you have to remember what is your duty.
So why should ask, why instead of stopping you, why don't I stop Indra? The answer is very simple. Because Indra, among the demigods, is the most stubborn. So it's useless to try to convince him. He's not ready to accept. He's not going to understand. So you're more advanced. You're more mature. Please, you stop. Someone has to stop this fight. Someone has to stop this competition for the welfare of the world. So he see the big picture. Actually, he came to establish Dharma. But because of this competition, a Dharma is being introduced. So better you stop it. I remember when I was a small child, I was 4 years older than my brother. So then, sometimes I was fighting, playing, doing something, and then my brother would come and would interfere and start fighting with me and create some trouble. And then I would come to complain to my parents. Look, this is not fair. Now I'm there quietly playing on my own. No? And then my brother comes and does this and that, and just provoke me. And so many times I heard my parents saying, okay, we understand, but you're bigger. So because you're bigger, just for the sake of not fighting, no? Leave him alone, but don't fight with him. He's too small, he cannot understand, but you are bigger, you can understand. If you fight with him, that means you're coming down to the same level. How old are you? Are you 12 or are you 8 years old? So then I will understand, okay. Because I'm older, so I should have more patience and I have to understand my brother. He cannot understand, but I can understand, so I should give in. I should renounce. So, but even though I remember so many times that same point came, that because you're older, not so, you did it. But I could not remember even one in detail, any, how to say, I wanted to tell some story, but I couldn't remember. That means there are such insignificant points. No? It was such a foolish thing. Maybe I was playing with my toy, then my brother comes and he wants to play the same toy at the same time, just because he's playing there. It was there for days and weeks, he's not playing that toy. Then suddenly, because I start playing, then he wants to play the same. Right? So it's something like that, very foolish. And then we would fight so much. And then my parents would say, okay, let him play, because he's small. He cannot understand, but he can understand. So let me play, he do something else. So the idea was that, yes, they knew that actually my brother was wrong. But because he's so small, he cannot understand, then it's my duty to actually cooperate and to create peace in the house, so that there's not all the time fighting them. Then I should be more patient and more flexible. So here the same thing is happening. There's an important word here, Vatsalyam, this verse 39. So, Lord Brahma told Kriti Maharaj to show Vatsalya to Indra. And Vatsalya is a feeling that the elder has to the junior. It's always like that. Vatsalya is the feeling that a senior shows towards the junior. Means affection. Means a parental affection or the affection for superior for someone inferior. But Indra is actually elder. So Vyana Shrivati Thakur explains that even though Indra is elder, but the bhakti of Prithu Maharaj is superior. So Brahma says, okay, you show Vatsalya. Even though he's elder than you. But actually you're more mature, you're more spiritually advanced. So you should show Vatsalya, show affection to him. Don't be angry at him. So it's very interesting because usually when we feel injustice, then we cannot forgive the other person. We always think that they are wrong and we always want revenge and we start wishing all the bad things for that person. We cannot be a well-wishing friend anymore, because we think, not he's wrong, he did me something wrong, and I suffered so much injustice because of that person. So then you start wishing all bad things for him. I wish that he would be a failure in his life. I wish that all his service would be destroyed. I wish that his mission or whatever he's doing, whatever, would be unsuccessful. Right? We tend to think like that. But no, Brahma told him, no, don't feel like that. Don't feel envious. Actually, you should be a well-wishing friend to him. Just like, consider him a small brother.
a small child, he's immature. So consider him like that. You show compassion. And you should be his well-wishing. So that's very amazing because it's difficult to do that. You have to be very mature. Sometimes we fight with someone, we feel that someone was unjust, and then what we want? That person may be a devotee. That person may be even a family member. Maybe our brother, maybe our friend, our parents, I don't know, maybe someone very close. But because we feel that there was some injustice, then we want that this person should perish, everything that he's doing should be destroyed, he should be unsuccessful in whatever he does. But wait a minute, no? If someone is a devotee, he's trying to serve Prabhupada, and then we may have a disagreement. Maybe the person was wrong. Maybe we are not understood, and there are some injustice against us. But then, if I wish that this person becomes unsuccessful, and whatever he does will be destroyed, then actually I am wishing bad against Prabhupada's mission. Because Prabhupada wants me and you and everybody else to somehow or another spread the Krishna conscious movement. But then because I had some disagreement, I want that the other person, the other devotee, he becomes unsuccessful. That means I am become envious of the mission of my spiritual master, of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, because I am angry towards that person. So that is lack of maturity. It's better that I say, okay, anyway, Krishna wants it like that. So leave it. Now, even if he's wrong, I wish all the good fortune to him. Let him be very successful in his service. And let him somehow or another serve Prabhupada's mission. And I'll find another way to serve Prabhupada's mission. And there are so many ways. There are unlimited ways. If I was taken out of that position, because it's like children, you know, sometimes a child is playing with the toy, and just because you're playing that toy, then the other one comes and wants to play the same toy. Sometimes you have a service and someone wants your service. So you can choose. You can fight with them until death, or you can say, okay, so you take it. Do it. Do this, I'll do something else. Because there is unlimited possibility of devotional service. And usually then Krishna gives you a higher service. So, but to do that you have to understand that actually everything is under the control of Krishna. In some shloka previously here, Brahma said that actually you should understand this is all happening by providence. It's a providential arrangement. So you may feel it's unjust, but actually that's the plan of the Lord. So accepting that, you just move on. Because if you don't, then you're going to degrade yourself. What shloka was that? 33. Lord Brahma continued, let there be good fortune to both of you, for you and King Indra are both part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you should not be angry with King Indra, who is no different from you. Next one, 34. My dear King, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifice have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. So we try to fight and fight and fight for justice, actually we only create more trouble and we degrade ourselves. Actually when a bigger child fights with a smaller child, he is lowering himself to the level of the smaller one. If he's actually bigger, then he can renounce, he can be detached, and he can do something else. He can go and do something else, play with another toy. But if he's in the same level, then he's going to fight and fight and fight. And so, Brahma says, don't degrade yourself. You should understand, the Lord is in everyone's heart. So if the Lord sanctions something, you should not be affected, you should not be sorry. There is a shloka in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. Saman Pasham Hisar Vatra Samavasitam Ishvaram Nahi Nasti Atmanatmanam Tato Yati Parangatim. So what happens? If someone can see that the Supreme Lord as a super soul is situated in everyone's heart equally, he will not degrade himself by his mind and he will advance towards the ultimate destination. So Nahi Nashtatman Atmanam, he's not going to want to degrade himself, to do bad to himself because of his mind, because he can see the Lord has sanctioned this. The Lord as Paramatma, he has made this plan. So instead of looking at this person as my enemy, as, oh, why he's doing this to me, I say, no, somehow Krishna has sanctioned this. Therefore, Krishna wants me to do something else, let me do something else. Whatever is pleasing to my Lord, I'll do that. I have no problem. But you can only do that if you don't have a personal attachment. If you're doing for Krishna, you can renounce. Because it's not for you. So, okay, if Krishna wants me to do something else, I'll do something else. No problem. But usually, it's all about false ego. I want that because I want that. It's my false ego. And I want to prove to everybody that I am right and the other person is wrong. So, but most of the times, the issue is not very important. Maybe very stupid issue, very significant. Just like I said, I cannot remember the specific situation with my brother because it's so insignificant, I forgot everything. So, important as the other person, or as important as the relationship, or as important as the higher mission that we have in life. So sometimes because of a small problem, we fight so much that we destroy relationship with other devotees, we destroy the capacity to cooperate with them in the future, we destroy the possibility of accomplishing a higher mission that we have. So we create problems for ourselves and for the other people to help spreading Prabhupada's mission because of false ego. Just because I want to prove to everybody that I am right and you are wrong. But even if I am right, is it worth it to destroy relationships and to put so many obstacles in devotional service because of that fight? So my father, he had one accident with airplane. He used to be an Air Force pilot. And once he had an accident that he almost died. His airplane, just 1 second before the airplane crashed into the lake, he ejected himself. It means there is a thing that you push or you pull and then your whole seat is ejected, explodes and flies upwards. And then there's a parachute and you land with the parachute, right? Just like 1 second before the airplane hit the lake, he managed to activate that ejection. He was ejected in the air, but because it was so close to the ground, the parachute could not open fully. So he hit the lake very quickly. And even luckily it was water, not ground. So he survived, but he broke many bones and like that. And then, to make it worse, no, that lake was infested with piranhas. In Brazil, there are these fish called piranha that they eat people. And that lake was infested with those kind of fish. So he was saved from the explosion. But then now, there is another bigger problem. He has he's all broken, no, all hurt, inside the water. And then, first, before the piranhas came, his parachute started going down and dragging him down under the water. So with his knife, because he used to have a knife always in his uniform, he cut the strings of the parachute and he managed to come up again. So then the piranhas are coming. But then because of the explosion of the airplane, they got scared. So they all went away for some time. And before they came back, a fisherman who saw the explosion came and rescued him. So he almost died in so many ways. But then, one of the realizations that he told me later on that he had is that so many times he would fight with people for less important issues. But when he came close to death, he thought, why did I fight so many times with my friends, with my wife, with my family members? for insignificant things, and actually my relationship with them is much more important. So then he decided, okay, I'm going to be much more, to give priority to my relationships over my personal ambitions. If I have to choose between my relationship with someone and doing something that I was thinking to do, I would prefer the relationship. So sometimes we see that because of very significant issues, we fight so much, we offend devotees, or we commit Vaishnava Parada. And sometimes people leave ISKCON. They leave ISKCON because they cannot come to some agreement, and they leave. Or because I think I'm right, they cannot accept, or I'm sure I'm right, no, the GBC is not giving me a reason, so therefore I'm leaving. So then you destroy your service to Prabhupada, you disturb so many people's service to Prabhupada, you destroy your relationships because you cannot be humble, and just say, okay, anyway, the Lord has a better plan, so I accept. So we can see in Shastra, for example, Srivas Thakur, so much injustice, no? Someone is trying to make everybody think that he's worshipping Durga and putting all the paraphernalia to Durga worship outside his door. He's not trying to defend himself. He's saying, okay, that's what I'm doing, no? And he's not trying to defend himself. He's being mature enough to say, no, that must be the plan of the Lord, and to accept that situation. Or even another example, Lord Ramachandran. Anyone will agree that Lord Ramachandra suffered great injustice when his mother, so-called mother or stepmother, she made a whole conspiracy against him and sent him to the forest. Everybody wanted him to be the king. He's qualified to be the king. It is actually his duty to be the king. It's for everybody's happiness and well-being that he's going to be appointed the king. But now, because of someone else's envy, he's being sent to the forest. So everybody can say it's not fair. It's such a great injustice. So even greater than Indra here with Prithu Maharaj, no? Same thing, because of envy, someone is trying to put obstacles in his service, which is a service meant for the well-being of everybody. But still he accepted. So how he could accept something like that? Because he understands there is a greater plan behind. So whatever has happened, so many people may be wrong, they may be angry, there may be some injustice, but if the Lord sanctioned this, there must be a greater plan. And he is ready to accept it. So he goes to the forest, and it's actually a much greater plan, which glorifies him much more. So he becomes even more glorious by doing that, than by directly becoming the king. If he would have demanded his rights and become the king by force, that wouldn't be so glorious as renouncing, going to the forest, accepting the words of his father, and then he became the king. But it was a much greater, the whole thing made him much more glorious than he would be by ordinarily becoming a king. So when we see in our own lives that something is happening like this, that appears to be injustice, but if we see that the Lord is actually behind, then we should accept and act according to his plan. And in the end we understand that Krishna had a much bigger plan. We were thinking of justice, Krishna is thinking of mercy. He wants to give us much more than we deserve. So we should not limit ourselves to just get justice. We should actually be hankering for Krishna's mercy and aspire only to cooperate with his plan, whatever the plan may be, and try to, with the help of authorities, understand Krishna's desire. So here, Loka Guru now, first he wanted to kill Indra, but being advised by Brahma, who had a higher vision, he gave up. And He showed compassion, vatsalyam, to Indra. So that's a great sign of spiritual advancement. And then, just to conclude, I'll read again the following shlokas. What happened by Prithu Maharaj acting like that? What happened is that after this, Prithu Maharaj took his bath, which is customarily taken after performing a yajna, and received the benedictions and due blessings of the demigods, who are very pleased by his glorious activities. So, by doing that, he became more glorious. He received all the blessings of the demigods. Not only the demigods, but all the brahmanas also, they are very pleased with Prithu Maharaj, and they offered their heartfelt blessings to the king. Not only the brahmanas, but all the living entities, they are very satisfied by the dealings and the charity of Prithu Maharaj towards them. Okay, so the result is much higher. He became more famous than Indra, and he got the blessings of everybody. So I'll stop here. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Shana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You very beautifully mentioned how one should try to not fight for justice, the world justice, and let go, you know. My question is, well, when someone hears from a superior, like Lord Brahma in this case, then at that time he might, accept the advice and let go, but because his inherent nature is still to want, you know, some so-called justice. He is not fully detached. He still wants the justice. He is not fully detached. So he may let go for the time being, but then later on he might again regret. Why did I let go? I should have thought. Or something like that, you know. I mean, my point is, someone's consciousness is not yet so developed. In such a case, should he, while at the same time he understands that yes, this is the higher principle, you know, but his consciousness is not on that level, and by the same time the words of the superior advice is having some effect. So should he be honest to his own level and, you know, say, admit that, no, I can't, you know, do that. I think I need justice. Or should he, you know, even if it seems artificial, try to accept it and let the future take care of itself?
Okay, so should one, if he is not very advanced, should he still fight for justice? The thing is that if you, the moment you understand, you can get more by, you can get more than justice. You can get the Lord's mercy. So, the moment you understand that, why should you hanker for justice if you can get much more than justice? No? And if you do that one time, then you may not be in that level. I had the experience of going through so many difficult situations and feeling that I was being injustice. And then, but I understood, okay, that's the decision of the authorities. I follow it. I follow it because I don't want to create more trouble, I don't want to create more fighting. So if I'm going to create more fighting, even though I think it's unjust, still I'll just stick to the authority's decision and I'll move on. And after I did that, immediately I saw that Krishna had a much better plan for me, because I was engaged in so many other services which are much better. Much more pleasing to me, I could do them better, I was much more satisfied, and not only I was satisfied, but everybody around me was satisfied. So that was a sign of the Lord's blessing. And when Krishna is satisfied, everybody becomes happy, like we see here with Prithu Maharaj. All the demigods, the sages, the human beings, everybody is happy with him, because he chose to renounce his personal aspiration and do whatever was being instructed to him by his authority. He did that, everybody was happy, because Krishna is happy. So why should you insist in having just justice if you can have much more? That's the point. So you should not insist in that. You should not be stuck hankering for justice, because that is childish. Even if you still attached and you are suffering, because that's normal, in that moment you are suffering so much, my consciousness was so polluted, I was describing to now in the class my own consciousness, that I was actually angry at everybody, I was desiring that these people become unsuccessful, then everybody will see that they are wrong and I'm right. But then I saw, no, actually Krishna wanted them to stay there, he wanted me to go somewhere else. So, that's fine. They're staying where they want to stay, and I'm going to do what I actually wanted to do, and what Krishna wants me to do. So, yeah, if you do that once, then that should be enough experience for us to have the realization, and then the next time will be easier. Okay? Any other questions on... Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, sometimes we want to do one service which we like and senior devotees advise us to do some other service. So we can accept because senior devotees told us. But still when we do that service, we won't be feeling that much blissful. Even though like we know because senior devotees told us it's a right thing. But still because we have an interest to do some other service, if we have not a developed interest to do the service which was advised by our senior devotees, so we won't be feeling that much blissful. So how we can deal in that situation?
Okay, so sometimes we are asked to do something that we don't like so much doing, but because we are asked to do, if we do that, it's very good for our spiritual advancement. Usually when you come to ISKCON, it's very common that you do so many types of service. Because you're new, you're coming out, then someone needs help in the kitchen, you help in the kitchen. Then someone needs help in the pujari department to wash the pots, and you go and wash. And then someone needs help in the garden, and in the goshala, and you go on and on doing so many things. So if you can sincerely do that, even though it's not going to be always what you like to do, but you do that sincerely and say, Krishna, whatever you want, no, I'm ready to do. If you do that, you are proving to Krishna that you are actually interested in serving Him. You are not trying to gratify yourself, only do what you like. No, you are ready to do the needful. So, if you do that, Krishna becomes very pleased. And you get a lot of spiritual sukriti. But then, gradually Krishna starts making arrangements also, so that you can be situated in a service which is more suitable for you. So Paramatma will guide that. There is no, you shouldn't be concerned. Gradually Krishna will show that. So, but if you only want to do what you like, then it's not pure devotional service. Because you're doing what you want to do, and then you're offering to Krishna. Actually, devotional service is pure when you first you surrender to Krishna, and then you do whatever is needed. It's a very, even though it appears to be subtle, but it's a very important distinction. If you do whatever you like and you offer to Krishna, that is karma yoga. But if you surrender to Krishna and then whatever Krishna asks you, whatever comes on your way, you do that for Krishna. That's pure devotional service. So then you wait for Krishna to do the arrangement, and Krishna gradually will show you what's your position, what's your duty. In the first 3 years of my devotional service, I was in a farm community and I was doing all kinds of service. I didn't have a fixed service. From 4:30 until 5 I was pujari, because I was usually doing the Mangalarti. We didn't have installed deities. We had just small murtis there. And I would do Mangalarti. Then I would chant japa. Then I would milk the cows. Then I would go to the garden and collect whatever vegetables and fruits I could find. Then I would cook breakfast. So all kinds of things. Then I would go and plant. Then I would harvest. Then come back and cook lunch. And then all kinds of things. Cleaning the toilets. All kinds of service. And for 3 years I didn't have a fixed thing. Like whatever would be needed I had to do. But the thing is that we had no electric light. So after the whole day working, I wanted to read. I had desire to read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there is no light. But the whole day I'm busy doing service. I would suffer so much because of that. And then with candle light I would try to read and I would fall asleep very quickly. So after 3 years like that, one day I prayed to Tulasi Devi, please help me to go to Vrindavan and do Bhakti Shastra. And the next day I got the ticket. One person gave me the ticket. So, first I had to prove to Krishna that, I'm ready to do. I was scared of the cows, but I was still doing the cow seva. I didn't like agriculture, but I was dealing with plants every day. So after 3 years like that, then the moment I asked Krishna, could I please make Bhakti Shastra? And immediately I came to India and I did Bhakti Shastri, but I was only thinking Bhakti Shastri, then I did Bhakti Vaibhava, and until now I'm dealing with teaching and studying. And so now I'm acting in that area that I like, but for 3 years I did something that so many things I didn't like. So I hope that helps you to find your balance in your own life. Okay, any other question? Or thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.